You are listening to benstorah.com.
And the reason I'm doing the sugi is because in Masechtas Bava Metzia and Daf Lamed Beis and Lamed Gimel, that was one of the major sugis in Shas to deal with the question whether or not tsar that you cause an animal is an Issa Deraisa, not an Issa Deraisa. So since the Gemara discussed it and the Gemara had different ways of going back and forth, I want to share with you the essence of this specific sugya in general, the Shas Sugya Tzah Balachayim, and point out some chidushim from the Gemara Bamatsi on Daf Lamed Beis, which you might not have realized is the chidush, but there's a trend of chidush in the sugya, which I'll point out tonight as part of tonight's presentation. Now, the sheets in front of you, I'm trying to give you as quick presentation as possible. That's why I have everything laid out. So let's go to page number one and go through the Makaros very, very quickly. Going back to the beginning of Brias Olam, and it's interesting how it just so happens that it's in Parshas Bereishis and Noach that I'm dealing with this topic. It's an amazing phenomenon. So in the beginning, when it comes to Hashem's entitlement to Adam Mechav to use what Hashem has created when it comes to Baal HaChayim in this world, so the Torah says, "Hinei nisat lachem es kol eitz zarezareh ve'es kol eitz ashebo eitz lachem yelo achla." That when it comes to the initial diet, we were told we're supposed to be vegetarians. When it comes to the animal kingdom, there the pasuk says specifically, "Irudulu b'degas hayam." That's quotation A. "U b'oyfa shemayim b'chol chaya harameses al haaretz." The Gemara in Sanhedrin and Tess, as I have pointed out over there, says the word "redu" have dominion means we were given initially the permissibility, like HaKadosh Baruch, to use the animals for our malacha, for our work animals. That would be the beasts of burden that we use in our daily activities. So therefore, in our initial interaction with the animals, there was in fact an iser of killing animals for the purposes of eating. And you couldn't eat them while they were dead, you couldn't eat them while they were alive. Isa Eivim Anachai also was part of the Shemitz Menei Nalach. The fact of the matter is, the only thing you could kill the animals for was for Hakravas HaKarbanos. The fact, the first thing Adam did when he was created, Chazal tells us, he was Makriv HaKarban. So if that's the case, we see Hakravas HaKarban, killing animals for Karbanos, was not prohibited, but killing them for his food supply was halachically prohibited. And even if the animal died by itself, according to the Rambam and the Ramban, you still could not eat the body. You could use the body perhaps for its materials, for the bones and other stuff to be used for other types of functional purposes. But for nutrition, that was prohibited before the mabul took place, before the heter vachila that is given in this week's parsha. And if that's the case, we therefore find that halach lamasa, before the marble took place, there was isa therefore of killing animals for the purposes of food. If you look at quotation C, the concept of the mata animals for the purposes of food took place as soon as Noach and his family came out of the Teva in this week's parsha. However, despite that, the Rabban Yishlam says at that point in time that you can kill the animal for eating it, but you can't pull off an aver while the animal's still alive. So the Issa Eivim Achai became activated in a practical level after the mabul had taken place and we were given the heter to partake of the animal's flesh, and you have to kill it first and then partake of the flesh. You can't pull an aver off. And the Ramban in Chumash, in Parshas Noach says, in Parshas Bereishis says, the reason the Torah asked you to pull off the organ when it's still alive to eat it was because of Tzah Baal HaChai Min HaTorah. Here you have articulated the concept of Tzah Baal HaChai Min HaTorah. Besides the fact there's also Dam HaNefesh contained inside, and therefore the Rabban Shem didn't want that to be consumed and drink it and eat it while the animal and the Aver are coming from a live animal. I have the Pasuk quoted, Koramis HaShehu Chai Lachem Yeh La'achla Ki Yerach Esev Nasat Lachem Es HaKol. And what's interesting, the Ramban says in Chumash, is that when it came to Klal Yisrael later on, besides the Issa of Eivim and Achai applying to us as well on a Tayag Mitzvah level, the same way it applies to going on a Zay Mitzvah and Elach level, the Rabban Hashem gave us the Mitzvah Gedela, quotation D, of Shechita, that before we are allowed to partake of an animal, we have to shecht it with a sakin baduk, with a sakin that basically has been sharpened, razor sharp. There aren't any types of imperfections in the blade itself. And we also were required to practice not to violate what is called the hey pesula hashi, to have them written on the side, grama shia drasa chaloda v'ikar. The common denominator in all of these psula shrita is that if you violate any one of them, you're causing more pressure and pain to the animal. For instance, in the concept of grama, it means cutting out of the cutting zone of the neck of the animal, which means you're going to have to cut more of the animal's flesh and cartilage and other stuff before you destroy the simonim. That extra cutting causes more pain. Shia means to basically stall in the middle of the cutting. That causes more pain. Drasa means instead of the backwards and forwards motion, you're chopping the head off. That causes more trauma and pain. Chalad is to stick the knife in between the actual simonim and cut it without having quality control to see what you're doing. That causes more pain. Oka means to literally pull out the simonim and not cut through them. All of these, if you violate them when you're shechting the animal, this is called the psula shita, which makes the shita invalid. But as Chazal point out, they also cause more pain to the animal in their performance. That's why the Sefer Chinuch himself, when it came to defining the concept of shita, so I have the quotation of Chinuch, so he, in his perush of the Sefer HaMitzvos, emphasizes the purpose of all this is to minimize the pain which is being impacted upon the animal in our permissive Israel as Jews to shecht it and to eat it. Now, the question arises, is the Isur of Tzar Ba'al Chayim, what is the actual halakhic value of this? Is it Isur D'Oraisa? Is it Isur D'Rabbanan? If you remember the sugya on Daf Lamed Beis, the Gemara had a machlokes Tanoim, where most Tanoim seem to say Tzar Ba'al Chayim is Menat Torah. The Gemara quotes Rav Yossi HaGlili and others holding that Tzar Ba'al Chayim is only Mid'Rabbanan. It doesn't apply on a D'Oraisa level. But at the end of the day, when you make a list of the Gedolim of the Rishonim and Achronim, by and large, I would say 98-99% hold like the Shitas Chachamim that Tzar Ba'al Chayim in fact is Min HaTorah, and Chazal treat it that way. When it comes to a halachic concept, we have to be very, very sensitive to and very serious about. What I have on the bottom of the page in quotation F is something quite interesting. And that is when the Speichemet and others try to categorize, so what is Tzar Ba'al Chayim? We don't find an explicit mitzvah asay or los asay saying not to cause Tzar Ba'al Chayim. So there's no explicit statement in the Torah of an asay or los asay. So the Sechemit brings down actually three different pshatim which I have in F1, 2, 3. The first thing the Sechemit says is he calls it an Isura Ba'alma, which is means it's a hashkafas Torah indicative of many of the mitzvahs contained in the Torah. He calls it a hashkafet klali. It's not an asay v'lo sasay, but it's a hashkafet deraisa, which is obvious when you look at the amount of mitzvahs. I'm going to show you on the next page that there are hashkafet Tzar Ba'al Chayim. He calls it a hashkafet deraisa when it comes to our sensitivity to the animal kingdom. Quotation F2 I have put down, that some say it comes under the realm of halachah l'moshe mi'sinai, which means it's not mufurish in the Qur'an, it's purely in the realm of Torah Shabbat Peh. The third approach, which is mentioned by the Chassam Sof and others, based upon the Ramban, is that the concept of Tzar Ba'al Chayim is subsumed under the mitzvah Seh Deraisa of halach de bedaracha. The Sefer Chinuch quotes in the 611th mitzvah, the Tayyak mitzvah, Sefer Chinuch, the mitzvah say v'halach de bederachav, mahu racham, machatay racham. So that mitzvah say, emulating the midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if the Torah says rachamav al kol ma'asav, we as the Amanif, halach de bederachav, have to emulate Hashem. So our sensitivity to the pain of the animals is a keem of rachamav al kol ma'asav, a keem of the mitzvah derais of halach de bederachav. So subsumed under that specific mitzvah say. And that's what the Chassam Sofer claims is the opinion of the Ramban. So these are the three different ways of looking upon the mitzvahs of Deraisa based upon this. Now, turn to page number 2. For you to understand when I say that the concept of Tzav HaLechayim is the Hashkafas HaTorah, I have listed for you an A, B, C over here, a whole bunch of mitzvahs in the Torah whose basic motif, according to Chazal, is Tzav HaLechayim. The most famous is the one which the Gemara deals with in Masechtas Bava Metzia, and that is called the concept of Parika V'Te'ina. You see an animal plotting in the street under its load, there's a mitzvah to help the balabayas unload it. That's called Parika B'Parek. If the bundle that's on top of the animal falls off, and the balabayas says, I need somebody to help me to put it on, since if two people put it on, it's less burdensome to the animal. It's not so painful. One person puts it on, it's more painful, so that's called the mitzvah of Te'ina, loading the animal. So let me read the pasuk in Mishpatim. Kisirach amar sanach harevitz takas maso v'chadat amazal lo azav tazav v'imo, which means even if the chamar that's plotzing under its burden belongs to your oyev, to your enemy, you're supposed to halach lamas to help him when it comes to taking care of the problem. It's called the mitzvah prika v'te'ina, and according to the Ramban and the Rishonim, they feel, as the Gemara says in Bava Metzia, that the Pshuto Shemikra indicates that's because of Tzav HaLechayim in HaTorah, as the Gemara itself talks about this in the Gemara Bava Metzia itself, when it comes to Prikatina. If you notice, they have on the side that Yosef Lee and others held that this has nothing to do with the concept of Tzav HaLechayim. They claim is Kedei Lakuf Es HaYitzra Keneged Seina. Even those Yesone, and you normally wouldn't help this guy, but if you see his animal in pain, you're supposed to therefore exert yourself to help him as a way of destroying your Yetzer Hara of having a Sinas HaYehudi. Because the Isad Min HaTorah Leisisna Es Achicha B'Levavecha. So therefore the Torah says, if his Chamar is collapsing and he needs your help, you're supposed to help him, not so much because of the Tzav HaLechayim, according to Yosef, who doesn't exist on the right level, but to be literally subvert Yetzer Hara, and instead of being a soni of a Jew, be a helper, a lover of a Jew, and help when it comes to helping with his animal. I'll get back to that very shortly when it comes to the bigger picture. Now, so therefore, according to the Rabbanan, the mitzvah prikatina demonstrates Tzav HaLechayim, as the Gemara Bava Metzia showed on Lama Beis, according to most of the daf, according to most Amoraim on that daf. Now, I also pointed out to you that the Rambam and the Ramban and the Chinuch look upon Shechita and all its halachas as also a ramification of Tzav HaLechayim in HaTorah. Remember B3, the mitzvah Kantzipor, Shalei Teshlach and Rabbanan Tikach Loch. The Rambam and the Ramban, the Chinuch, and many look upon this as a manifestation of Tzav HaLechayim. The mother shouldn't see you taking the babies and utilizing them. So Shalech Tashalech HaSeva'ein, and then Abadim Tikach Lo, to show a sensitivity to Tzav HaLechayim. Number four, Lo Sachsim Shabedishar, you shouldn't close the mouth of the animal with a muzzle. He shouldn't be able to nash when he basically is doing his work in the field.
You skipped one. Oh, so Vespino.
All right, okay, I'll get back to the minute. No, good. Thou sachsim shabedisha, therefore, by muzzling up the animal, that's basically psychological and physiological trauma of the animal. By doing such, the Ibn Ezra and others held, that's a manifestation of Tzav HaLechayim. Lo sachros b'shar v'chamar v'yachtov, you shouldn't plow with a shar and a chamar, since they're disproportionate in the physical stamina. You're going to overwork the chamar if it has to compete with a shar in pulling together the yoke, a common yoke, a plow or anything else. So that's a physical Tzav HaLechayim. The Rashbam says that the mitzvah is also a Tzav HaLechayim. The mother will see it cooking his baby in milk. And finally, one that I also left out, which was mentioned when it comes to number three, also as benola shishchatu b'yamechad, you can't shaft the mother and the baby the same day. Many Rishonim say that's also a manifestation of Tzav HaLechayim. The reason I put this together is to show you that when the Seichemet said it's a hashkafas HaTorah, where do you see it so widely spread? So this is a sampling of many different mitzvahs whose the underlying motif, the hashkafas HaTorah, is Tzav HaLechayim. So this shows you a little bit what the Seichemet is. Everybody calls it hashkafas HaTorah. Now, the question I want to pose is the following. We know for a fact, based upon Zeris HaKasuf, that you're allowed to kill the animal for the purpose of Hakrevas Kerbanos. We're allowed to, from the time of post-Noah up to our very day, kill animals for the purposes of food. Goyim can kill animals for their food, we can kill animals for our food. So that's without a question. The question is, can you kill animal for other purposes that don't involve consumption of food or hakravas karbanas? What else can you kill them for? So logically speaking, since it says Urudubit Degasi Amakadvaimer, you can kill an animal for the purpose of taking its hide to make clothing. In fact, I point out the first clothier mentioned in the Torah is the Rabbanu Shalom. It says he made them kustnas or valyabishe. So the Rabbanu Shalom brought hides of animals and clothed Adam Achav after the sin of Eitadas Tevara. And it says kustnas are. This was the actual skin of the animal that was taken off, and they were made, and so therefore the Rabbanu Shalom was the first furrier. And it comes to historical record in the Torah. And I always tell people, say, you can't kill animals for clothing. So I said, are you firmer than the Rabbanu Shalom? They said, what are you talking about, Rabbi? He says, let's take out a chumash. Let's look in the book of Genesis.
But it doesn't say that he killed animals.
Well, what he,
it's an assumption. I'm asking. Maybe it was by nace. Maybe he had it already before him so much.
In any event,
synthetic.
The fact is, even by people who are against killing animals for furs, even animals die by itself, they don't want, they're against using those things. So the fact of the matter is, I can even whether, it doesn't make a difference. It's a rebuttal argument. So getting back to this question, the question is there a broader definition when and where we can eliminate Tzar Bala Chayim? So one of the most famous sources in Shas is the famous Gemara of Adizor Dafir Aleph, where the Gemara talks about something that we don't do today anymore, and that is the concept of what is called Okrim Bishul Kavod HaMelachim. This is quotation E on the daf. And that is, what does that mean? So I have the quotation, Okrim Sushu HaYaroichav Olav, which means the sus, the horse that the king rode upon. When the king dies, we hamstring the horse that it can no longer, because its tendons have been cut, carry a rider on its back. No other human being, even a subsequent king, should ride in the previous king's horses. Any type of calf or cow, a bull that used to be a puller of the wagon of the king, you basically are menashe prasaser from the thigh downwards. So therefore, halach l'masa, this egla can no longer be used for these types of purposes. All of this is done because of kavod hamelech. If you look at the quotation of the Rambam, quotation F I have on this page, he brings down kavod gadol nogam b'melech. And therefore, in order people should fear that even a subsequent queen king can use the kalim or the animals used by the previous king, and when the king dies, his kalim, his inanimate objects, sarfin amalakim, they used to burn those kalim, that subsequent monarchs, even kings, should not have a right to use them. Where does that come from? And in fact, the question which borrowed the Bible faces, it's very nice of giving the cover to the king posthumously, what about Tashkis on inanimate Kalim? And hamstringing animals, what about the concept of Tzar Bala Chayim? So on page number 3 on top of the page, I have a paraphrase of the Tosos in a Sechtis of a Dezer Yeralit, and this is Tosos Kash and Tosos Tarek on quotation 3a. Taisa says over there, Amai, why in the world can you be Oka Amalachim to hamstring the animal, the horse that he rode upon? The Iker Tzabali Chayim. Yeshlomo Taisa says, Shiny covered Amalek should cover the whole Yisrael, as he covered Rabin Vidachi Tzabali Chayim. What's Taisa's teretz? The teretz is that there's a concept in the Torah called the concept of Kavod HaMelech. In fact, the Torah says in Parshas Shoftim, Som Tosim Olech HaMelech, Som Tosim, and the Gemara Darshan is in Masech the Sanhedrin, Shetehei Eimoscha Olecha, that the Rabbanu Shel says to Klal Yisrael, you want the king to succeed, people have to have respect for your leader. They have to have covet for your leader. They have to have fear for the leader. Therefore, you have to make sure he is in a position that people respect them, have fear for them. There's a covet hamelech, and that's a chiyuv d'oraisa based upon son to simolech hamelech. I didn't plan the shiur for tonight for that reason. Just works out well tonight. So in any event, Bangkok or Bangkok, the mitzvah therefore of kavod hamelech is a concept of the deraisa. Soim tosim is the source of that. So Taisa says that's a din of kavod of the melech, which is the concept of the kavod, the respect of the entire people. The king's kavod is the king of the entire nation. So he calls that kavod derabim, the kavod of the tzibur, of the kavod hamalchus, that has the power to be dochid the yisur of tzar balechayim. So those are the mechanics. Also, Taisa says later on, there's no Baal Tashkis, the same exact thing. The Kavod HaMalchus is so important, it's Doka the Yisr of Baal Tashkis. The same way, for instance, to show Kavod for a mess, Vitir Abagadim Vakriya, upon the Besura Ra, or being participating, so the obvious question is, isn't there Baal Tashkis? The Kant is, the Kavod HaMess and the Mitzvahs Eivel, therefore, overrides the Issa Baal Tashkis when it comes to our Beged. Likewise, the concept of Kavod HaMelech is so powerful, it overrides, therefore, technically speaking, the concept of Tzar Baal Chayim and the concept of Baal Tashkis. So therefore, this is the first official makar in Shas, in the actual Baal Tashkis, that the concept Tzar Baal Chayim and killing the animal or hurting the animal is permissible when it comes to physically assaulting them on this type of level, by physically cutting the bodies as such, out of the context of Shechita for Kabanos, out of the context of killing them for food purposes. This is the makar, that even when the purpose is kavod, kavod hamalchus, that is a matter in the Issa d'Oraisa of Tzar Baal Chayim. What you now have on page number 3 is the subsequent development through the ages of the parameters of Tzar Baal Chayim and Heterim, slowly but surely expanding and expanding. For instance, in the Piskei Taisis and the Sechtes of Avodah Zarah, in the back of the Shas there, they mention an additional concept of increasing the Heter Tzar Baal Chayim. The Lashon of the Piskei Taisis is, Ein Isa Elokei Shemitzara Bili Revach. The Isa is to cause pain where there's no benefit. Once there's a human benefit, the concept of Tzar Baal Chayim falls by the way. Now, what does that benefit mean? We're now going to see different ramifications. Look at quotation 3, which is basically the Isa Heta Arech, written by Rabbeinu Yonah, one of the Baal Tesis. And this is what he says in his Sefer, in Din Bekuach Nefesh. He brings down, this Rabbeinu Yonah quotes the Tesis, Baal Zara, Alpha Pisha Tzar Baal Chayim Deraisa, in Yoel Ezadavar. If the purpose of causing the animal pain has a specific definitive benefit, it's mutter. And what does that mean? So he paskins, even for a refuah she'ein by sakana. A chazr ein by sakana, malad davar by tzab al chayim deraisa, to help that specific chola by causing pain to the animal, whatever that pain might be. Now, if you skip Rabbi Issa from the 1100s and the 1200s, to the time of the Tumizdeshin, who lived approximately in the 1300s-1400s. So Yisrael Islin was one of the great poskim in the Ashkenazic world. Tumizdeshin is quoted continuously by the Ramon Shulchan Aruch. He, in fact, was one of the mentors the Ramon used in his Piskei Halachos. So he says in his formulation, Ein Iser Tzar Baal Chayim Imhu Oser L'Tzarchav. If you use the animal and you have to paint it to do your needs, l'tashmishav, you have to mishtamish it with whatever purposes. The lo nivra kol habrios rak l'shamesh esahadav. He quotes the Mishnah Masechtas Kedushin. The purpose of all the creatures on the face of this earth was to serve as servitors for human beings. Anyway, they accomplished that to fulfilling their tafkut. And then, if you can't say because they have pain, halach l'masa, it's precluded. The Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, which is quotation 5 underneath him, says in Eben Ezer, Kol dav hatzarech lerefua, anything that's needed for medicinal care, or l'shad devarim for other purposes, less be meshum iser tzar baal chayim. So quite obviously, he's taking the Trumas Edeshin and expanding the parameters. In quotation 6, Keshvus Yaakov, we're now skipping Rabbi Isai from the 1500s, 1600s, now to the 1700s. He says, Halacha l'masa, the kol sheyesh bo shum tzarech, o l'refuah haguf, o shum hanas hamam, and even if it's a monetary benefit, the ein bo shum chashas ish l'bal tashris, o tshah bal l'chaim, there's no bal tashris, l'bal chayim, tshah bal l'chaim, afilu mishnas chasidim enkan, to be machmi, says, in these inyanim, doesn't exist over here. The Torah was matter, the Torah is matter. And finally, quotation 7 on this page is the Chassam Sofer in his Chidushim to Bava Metzia and Daf Lama Beis. What does the Chassam Sofer say? The Gemara Tzav Al Chaim Derai Sinira Mitiksiv Racham Aval Kamas. So this is the Chassam Sofer I quoted before, the Shem of the Ramban, that this comes under Rabbi Yisrael, the concept of Halach Debedarach, of following Hashem's Midah, is Tevis contained in the Torah. And since Hashem's Midah is Tevis, is Racham Akal Masav, we have to emulate Hashem as the Amma Nivcha. Milahayna Mas She'enu L'Tzarech Adam, but what is not a Tzarech Adam? Or L'Chvod Mamono, that's considered prohibited, but what is a Tzarech B'nei Adam, or for covered Adam, or for Man of Adam, the halach is you're allowed to cause pain. Why? Harei tiksiv uridu b'degas hayom, harei tonim al behemos v'ragim de b'makil. Don't we have rabbis say animals being used as beasts of burden? The whole concept of Brika Vatina is that an animal is allowed to, on a certain level, be loaded with a load, which causes pressure, causes momentary pain. It's only when the pain is of undue hardship, the animal's about to plots, that the halach is, there's a mitzvah prika to relieve it, but causing it a certain amount of pain is part of the head to toe, go back to the time of Adam HaRishon, where it says redu. So therefore, if that's the case, it's built in that the Rebbeinu didn't eliminate no tzar for animals. Reasonable tzar from the Adam is permissible. Unreasonable tzar is basically impermissible. Of course, you have to define what's reasonable and not reasonable.
Does anybody talk about experimentation?
Yeah, I'm going to get to that, yes. Common day post can do, we're going to get to very shortly. So if that's the case, halacha lamasa, we therefore see from the development of this, from the time of the Rishonim going through the late 1800s, because I'm so fair, there was a progressive movement to open up the parameters as much as possible. If there's a tzarech ben adam, halach lamasa, it is permissible. Now, what I said in Masechtas Bava Metzia, there's a chiddush. The chiddush I'm referring to, before I go further into the Maariv Mekomos, is an interesting set of lines on Lama Beis on Beis. Since everybody here knows is a Bucky and now Bava Metzia, he learned this a couple of days ago. So I'm going to quote part of the Gemara, even though we're not here, you're going to get the gist very quickly. The Gemara on Lama Beis on Beis in Masechtas Bava Metzia brings different mando amram. Do we say tzav al chaim deraisid or derabanan? And when the Gemara talks about this specific concept, one of the sources they bring is the following source. I'm going to quote for you. Listen carefully, and I'll explain to you what the chiddush of this source is. It says this is in the last five lines along the base of the base. You don't have it in front of you, but I know that those who learned the Gemara know it, and those who didn't learn the Gemara, you're going to learn it right now. Listen to what it says. If you have an oyev lifrok, you have two people in front of you. A beloved friend that has an animal that has to have the animal unloaded because the animal is clotting under its load. And right next to him you have a person who's a sone, your sone, who needs you to help him be tying the animal to put the merchandise on the animal's body. Now, it's called the mitzvah prika vatina. So who do you help first? So the Gemara quotes the Braisa. Mitzvah besone. There's a mitzvah to help the sone. First, why? Kedei lakuf es yitzra. In order to work on your midas tevis, you shouldn't have a hatred to a Jew. So to show you're working on your midas tevis, therefore you help the sone before you help, basically speaking, the ayah. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, so we therefore see, quite obviously, a very interesting concept. The Gemara says upon this, listen to this. So the Gemara says, "Isalke daitech tzav al chaim deraisa." If you held tzav al chaim is minat Torah, ha'odif leid. The obvious question is, why, in this case, if one animal has to undergo purika, unloading, and one animal has to undergo te'ina, the animal that's in pain is the animal that's overloaded, the animal that has to undergo purika. That animal's in pain. That has to undergo tina is not in any pain yet. What's that? So if there's a concept of tzav al chaim, if that's a concept, forget about the sinai nishkan sinai, helping the animal that's in pain and there's a daraisa tzav al chaim taking place actively should give them precedence to the concept of what Rabbi Yisai of tina. I don't care sinai or ayev. It shouldn't be who owns the animal. It should be which animal has an immediate pain and doesn't. An animal has to go prick as an immediate pain. Besides immediate pain, the gross is other logic. An immediate pain and also a financial loss. It can weaken the animal forever, the Gemara says. So I would say the Gemara says that Tzav al-Chaim is menat Teira, that there's something wrong with this Braisa. And if the Braisa, Enoch Hanami says, that you have to take care of the Sones Teina before the Oyev's Parika, that was seem to imply Tzav al-Chaim is not menat Teira, and if that's the case, you're just doing this for Midas Teivais, and that, you know, nothing says Tachich Levecha, so that, you know, the concept of having concern, love, and compassion is the Deraisa, and the Tzav al-Chaim only the Rabban, and that seems to be where the Gemara is heading. So the Gemara answers, listen to this, the Gemara says, Afil Hachi, Kedei Lokuf Es Yitzro Odeh, to be Kofa Yeyetzahar, not to hate a Jew, and to love a Jew, and to overcome that hate, and tear it out of your heart, and working your midos, is more important than the mitzvah of even if Tzav al-Chaim is a deraisa, and therefore I should have helped, therefore, if that's the case, my oyev do a perik of his animal, there's still a bigger mitzvah to do the tina of my son's animal, because I want to be kaif of the Yetzirah. So the Minchas Chinuch, as well as in his Sefer, and Rav Dessel in his Musa Sefer, come up with the same basic Yisod. And what's the Yisod? From here we see that Tzarech ben Adam is now been expanded to a new area according to this Gemara. Tzarech ben Adam is not only using animals as beasts of burden, not only using animals of source of monetary benefit, not only using animals as a source of nutrition, not only using animals as a source of karbanos, not only using animals as schleppers of your wagons and trains, whatever it might be, everything that you physically could possibly do with an animal in a constructive fashion comes under the heter of violating Tzav al-Chayim. But we would never have thought without the sugya that tikkun midas is considered a tzarech ben adam. The animal mamish is under tremendous pain. The load is about to break the back of the animal. Tzav al-Chaim deraisa. So the Torah says, Afa pike, you help your sone with the tina first, because you have to have tikkun amidos. So be misakin your midas tavas. You shouldn't violate lo sisna achicha b'lalavecha. And you should work on midas training. And personality training is as much a tzarech ben adam as all the other physical ones mentioned before. So the Maariv Mechadesh, the Tzarech Ben Adam, is not only physical, tangible activities, but even Midos training is a Tzarech Ben Adam, and therefore that overrides as painting the animal, and therefore loading the Te'ina of a Sone's animal, and momentarily forsaking the Prika of an animal that's potzing under its burden. It's important more to be Kaif of Yitzro as a human activity of tikkun. The Gemara's Mechadish, that's how far the parameters of Tzav al-Chaim goes in Tzarech ben Adam, which you wouldn't have said up his Svara. I mean, the Gemara itself initially didn't seem to say up his Svara we should go that far. And the Gemara's Chiddush is, since the Gemara knows you pass in Tzav al-Chaim deraisa, so how do you reconcile the Pasuk in the Torah and this Braisa? The Chiddush is tikkun amidus is a tzarech ben adam, which allows you also to put it to the side.
But sinas adam is also an isa d'oraisa.
I'm not saying no. But the fact of the matter is, one is a sheva atasa, one's a kumviyase. Now, you might hate the guy, but it's not impacting with any pain on him at this point in time. But this animal is under excruciating pain. Every moment that burden on its back, it's plotzing, it's collapsing. So therefore, one's an active phenomenon that's in front of your eyes. The other one is a bigger picture of uprooting the midah of sinner from your heart. But the person who you're son, he probably hates you back also. I mean, so it's a mutual hate society over here. So there's no pain. Afal pi kein, Chazal says, you can ignore the pain to the animal momentarily for tikkun midos to eliminate sinner from your heart, to develop an ava and take away sinner. Tikkun midos, even though there's no pain involved, is more important than Tzav al-Chaim deraisa. That's a powerful concept. What?
You are listening to Ben's Torah.
Who? Oh, yeah. That's true. You might make a new sign at that point in time. But when I went through this Gemara, I was teaching, I said to myself, wow, this is a new dimension of Tzad Bale Chaim. Usually, they quote Kedei Lakuf Es Yitzro as a proof that Tzad Bale Chaim is not Minotaur. That's the way it's usually quoted, as a proof to Rav Yossi Agli. But the fact is, the Gemara is deep over Shez. No, I can learn according to other Tanayim and still justify the Brisa. So that's one of the Chidushim of the Sugya. I wanted to share with you as we go further now in our little survey. I want you, Rabbi Samuel, to turn the page. And I want to get now to Tzvi's specific question over here. If you look at Rabbi Isai on page number 4, quotation D, I'm going to go right to the actual tshuvas that deal with this specific question, and that is medical experimentation using animals before you use the medical treatments or drugs on human beings. I mean, the fact of the matter is the FDA will not allow anything to be used for human purposes unless it's tried on animals first, whether they're operative procedures, whether they're medicines, it all has to be first tested with the animal kingdom. Once it passes there, it's then human testing is allowed. So the question was posed in quotation D to the Shvus Yaakov, who lived with Rabbi Yisrael once again in the 1700s. What about Nisyanos Rufios? Things that are done with animals for the purposes of quite obviously testing things out. So it says Nishal Maroife and Mutal Lahashkai Samim Arsiyim Lalchayim. If they have certain medicines that seem to be very dangerous, very toxic and poisonous, can they first test it out on animals, Laman Yedu, Pulau Samim Beinya Rafuas Adam, how they're going to assess the impact upon this if it's used for human use later on? He basically speaking in his tshuva, the Shvus Yaakov, who happened to be one of the famous achronic medical ethicists of his time. In his time, he was like the Rav Moshe when it came to the Shelos and Tshuvas of medical ethics. So he was matir, according to the Makaris I quoted before. And he paskins that the concept of Sofet Pikuach Nefesh is doicher everything, including the Issa Tzad Bale Chaim. Since over here, it's possibly going to develop medical care and other stuff to help save human beings. Therefore, there's no question in his mind, it's halachically permissible. Now, that was the approach of, basically speaking, the Shvus Yaakov. The Chelkis Yaakov, who lived basically 100 years later on, writes, Gamken Kosev, Shevada Mutar Ligrom Tzad Bale Chaim Aydei Nisyanos Bishul Chakiris Madios, when it comes to scientific research, L'Chachmas Arifua, Bahu Mosif, Apimidas Chasidus, Linotza Mimidas Achzarius, Vadyasar. You have to be careful not to cause unnecessary cruelty to the animals. So he has a little hesitation how far you can go when it comes to these examinations. Turn out to page number 5. I want to get now to the bottom line and to how we finally passed in this specific Shela. We get now, Rabbi Isai, to the Sitz Eliezer, which is quotation C and D. He was basically contemporary Pesach and Eretz Yisrael in our generation. So he was asked the question about testing out medicines on the bodies of animals, especially eye medicines, to see how it impacts upon the eyes of animals of Kedemer. So he says in his tshuva the following, Ein midas chasidus kan. In his mind, he basically does not like what the Chelkis Yaakov said. He knows there's no kinds of midas chasidus to be machmer over here, and therefore hold back. And he says, "Kadesh shlemaya tatzah yisadru hatzos einayim alide hadamas hamakim ofishal targish atzah b'hitzah v'yasu zos b'mehirus v'achem esayim meimis osam asholot yishar b'tzah." He makes the following statement: that even though I hold there's no midas chasidus, and in fact you can use the animal for any medical experimentation you want, when it comes to testing animals for medicines, testing them even for cosmetics, they were concerned in the tshuva, they wanted to see if the medicines were too caustic, that it might cause eye damage. So they first tried on the animals first, see how it impacts upon them, and then to use it for human usage as well. So it's not only medicinal for saving life, but for nefesh, even the purposes of decorating your body with cosmetic types of creams and such. So he says, if you do that, for tzarech ben adam, I'm going to give you a heter, but I have two provisions. Number one is during the experimentation period, if you're able to give it painkillers, so it shouldn't experience pain during the nisayon, during the test, so you minimize animals' pain during the test itself, that I would advise you try to do as much as you possibly can. And number two, after the experiment's done, if the animal will be in pain and wounded the rest of its life, in that case, the best thing you could do is put the animal out of its misery and kill it. What? Yeshua says that it shouldn't be in a state of pain the rest of its life. So that's the rachmanus of Tzad Balachayim we basically tried to exercise. So we see over here that in contemporary literature, when we pass in this way, that's the heter we, when it comes to using animals for experimentation during and after the experiment itself. Now I want to point out something quite interesting. And that is, it seems that there is a over concern that even though you have heter to violate Tzad Balachayim, not to cause them undue pain. Why is there such a concern for not causing undue pain? In fact, I want to point out to you another phenomenon, and that is in one of the very famous tshuvas of the Trumas HaDeshem, he's asked the following question. In his time, the only pens they had were pens that were made from feathers that you pull out of an animal, and that was the fountain pens. So the question posed to Rav Yisrael Isselin is, should I only pull out the feathers from a dead bird? Or can I pull out the feathers even from a live bird and cause it pain itself? So in the course of his tshuva, and where he passed him before, if you remember, going back momentarily, Rabbi Isai, to page number 3 in quotation D, the Trumas Deshen said, "Ein isa tzav balachayim imu osu tzav tashmisha, dolo nivra kol abrios rak l'shamesh adam," that in his tshuva, he doesn't seem to say, Mi'ikar din, you have to be concerned with any pain of the animal whatsoever, and therefore he allows you to pull out the feathers even from a live bird for the purpose of using those feathers as a quill to write with. He points out, despite that fact, when he paskened that, and he told that the people that were not willing to mekabel that kula, and therefore they were makbe bedavka to take a quill from a dead bird, not from a live bird. So he could obviously is interested what frightened them to make them be machmir in this case. So I want to show you what the source of the chumrah is based upon. In the Maariv Kamos Rabbi Isai, on page number 7, there's another Gemara in Bava Metzia, which we haven't got to yet, it's on Daf Pei Hei, which we're going to get to in a couple of weeks, which is the source of this chumrah being concerned with the animal's pain, even though you have a heter to use it and cause it tzar. And it's based upon the Gemara Bava Metzia, a very famous story of Rebbe. Quotation say 7a on top of the page. Yisurav shal Rebbe adei maisa ba'u adei maisa halchu adei maisa ba'u shepam achas halichu egel l'shita. One day the sheikh was shefting a little egel, a little calf, to the Beis Shita, I guess, to make a nice little stew for the evening. He's going to shecht it. And before the sheikh was able to get it to the shlachtais, barach ha'egel, the egel ran away from the sheikhit, and he saw Rebbe standing in the street. He hid his head under the kaftan of this specific Rebbe. The Gabi started to cry and cracks. It seems they had an intuitive feeling it's not going to be alive for very much longer. And what did Rebbe say? Rebbe said, as a public statement, he said, Rebbe says, Leich lekach notzra. You were created to be a hamburger. You were created to be a steak. That's your tachlis. Was right there over here. So if that's the case, go back to the sheikh. Now, what happened to this poor Rebbe? Now, Rebbe made a halachic statement that's 100% true. And the animals were created for food. So in Shemayim, the Bezdin Shemayim said, Hoil ve'ena marachem. Since he didn't show compassion upon this little eagle, Yavol love Yisurim, he's going to be pained. Me the Kenegapida. And if that's the case, he suffered tremendous gastrointestinal pains as a result of that momentary achzarius. The Gemara then continues, Al de maisa hocho, ultimately Rebbe was healed from it because of another incident. She was once cleaning out the kitchen after the meal of the household. And v'hoya b'nei chulda mutalim sham. She had little baby lach weasels in the kitchen, laying there, ready to eat the leftover foods. and she wanted to clean out the kitchen and clean out these animals, and she started using the broom to try to get him out of there, Rebbe came in and said, Amala Rebbe, Hanichem, leave the little baby weasels, Nema Racham Avakamasov, they're here because they need food, let's feed them, we have the food to feed them.
Yeah, but they couldn't be used as steaks. Maybe had been little Egelich, he would have said, Lekach Notzro.
No,
you couldn't do anything with the weasels. No. What are you going to do with the weasels?
No, she wanted to chase them out of the kitchen. He says, don't chase them out.
No, but my point is that, let's say they were little Egelich that had walked into the kitchen.
No.
He would have said, Lech, because the Lekach Notzro.
Over here, the situation, the case situation, let's not make it what it wasn't. The case situation is, I don't care whether it was a weasel, a cat, a dog, it's irrelevant. This was an animal that was there waiting to eat the leftovers, and it was hungry. A runaway animal didn't have a bile. So if that's the case, he wanted to show, I know you want to clear out the kitchen, get rid of the garbage, but you have animals there that are hungry, that are dying for food, Racham al Kamasav, they don't belong to us, but there's a Chi Racham al Kamasav, that's the point over here.
I hear the point, it's just, I'm just saying that maybe had it been...
It's not a contradiction to the past thing. This is a situational concept where these animals were looking for food, they didn't run away from a sheikhet over here, they were looking and scavenging for food, don't chase them away, give them what to eat. So over here, it says that since he was Marachim, Bezen Shemayla will be, and therefore the pain and the tzai he was given as a punishment for the first episode was removed as a midikin, as that he did tshuva, midikin egemida. So the tshuva sa'ga'inim, which means the ga'inim on that daf gemara, in the shelos tshuva ga'inim, have the following explanation. Ego nachas lemachol, emitz lahatzila. V'zeh sheba yusurim our Rebbe be'ikvas ma'isezeh sherebi hoya adaf yosef. He was a very big, he was a big chassid at tzaddik kedoshim. Everybody used to learn the midas tavis from what Rebbe was. V'kayvul hashakadosh baruch medaktek with gedolim hachashuvim yosef ma'ashu medaktek achay kachut asara m'nei sherabim l'meidim ma'asehem u'makshim atzma lehem. So if that's the case, v'zeh ha'egel Kaven Shinos Mitakas Asakin, it was situational. Since the eagle ran away from a shekh who was about to shecht it, Ubov a coverosh of so chekel sherebi, kedele notzabo, who masra liyad sheikh the lealter. He even calm it down. Near him, the things appear. Ain achzar, as if it's cruelty. Umidus archamadis, the pre that he should have had Rebbe, is lahashesus of a sashot to keep it quieted down a little bit. And then return it quietly. But what people saw Rebbe did immediately to kick it away and tell them to go back. So he says very simply is, the Bezdin Shemala felt that they had to teach Rebbe and teach us a Musar Shmuz, that the way Rebbe conducted himself would be a Musar Shmuz, whether to be sensitive to animals' pain or not. Since he didn't show sensitivity, he should have shown him his darga, therefore he was momentarily punished with Yisurim to give him a little patch min HaShemayim. He should realize what he did. The next time he had the ability to show Rachmanis, he realized, I learned my lesson. That's what the weasel mice, which was not comparable to the other ones I explained before. So therefore, that showed he learned his lesson, Dav Rachmanut, and therefore people could learn positively. What?
There's another point over here.
Yes.
When the animal came to him and was begging him for Rachmanut.
Yeah.
That's the part of it. He didn't tug that.
Exactly.
It's not a halachic question. The question is that he should have been sensitive.
Emotionally, psychologically, he should have had compassion naturally to the cry. Yeah. But on that daga, especially a bar daga like that, should have had, and therefore, there was a chil Hashem the way he acted. Right. And people were learning the opposite midah. And therefore, Bezdin Shemala wanted to teach us in that Gemara what happened to him, the positive and the negative, as a Musar Shmuz. So says Rav Yisrael Islam, as Truma Sedeshin, when people learned this blot of Gemara and Shas, and they came across it, and they saw what happens when you don't show undue concern for pain of animals, even though you're allowed to eat the animal, it could be a hamburger, It could be a beef burger, but you got to do it in a compassionate way. They were makma upon themselves. You can take quills.
So they have a choice.
Yeah, but you can do it from a dead animal or otherwise. So therefore, why do I have to cause tsar and put myself under a matzav of divine punishment? People started sittering, not causing undue pain to animals. That's why later on, when it came to the Rav Waldenberg's tshuva about doing experimentation on animals, there's no question based upon the makaros. You have the heterim to do this type of medical investigation. It's a tzarach ben adam, and has tremendous, tremendous benefits. But nevertheless, if you can obviate the pain, or minimize the pain, or eradicate the pain, that's what the Truma Sedeshin says people will know you because the Gemara of the Metzia. That's why in Rav Waldenberg's tshuva, he added that sniff to sensitize us, that we should realize, don't ignore the pain of animals. You can obviate it and override it, but do it with compassion and minimize the pain violation as much as possible. So therefore, Rabbi said, that's quite obviously speaking, the makar, or the chumrah mentioned later on by the Tzitzit Eliezer, going back to the Truma Sedeshin, based upon the Gemara Bar Metzia and Daf Pehei, we'll get to eventually within a couple of weeks from now. Now, what is interesting to note, Rabbi Isai, is that this concept of not causing animals unnecessary pain was then codified in the 1200s by Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid in the Sefer Chassidim. And if you look on quotation, see on the bottom of the page, he has a couple of examples how people should not play games with animals and cause unnecessary pain. For instance, he brings in quotation C, if you cause an animal unnecessary pain, you purposely overload knowing up front what you're doing, or you hit the animal and the animal is not able to walk but you're hitting it nevertheless, I want you to know that in Shemayim they're going to basically hold you culpable for tzar bale chayim. They pull the ears of cats to make them scream and yell. They're sinners. So what he's pointing out is that which means to unduly pain them, where you could have had them do what you want to do with less pain, and you take advantage of them. So obviously don't think that the Rabbanu Shalom ain't going to take advantage of you to give you reciprocal punishment. Furthermore, he quotes in the next halacha, going back to good old Bilam over here, and when the donkey didn't want to go in the Mishal Karamim, so he started hitting him. So the Malach says, why are you hitting your asa? So Yochel Yaka, Kish Ein Amasa La Kaveh, Vayner Rosalechus. You might think, I can't hit the animal when the mass is not that heavy, or he doesn't want to walk. Lakaknema, what? Zeshlosh Regalim, Aze Atanenesh, Kavin Shulmumedes, Hilaleches, Hoylechalaksha, Shemacholahi, who oven, and therefore of Itricha. The time against him is that this specific animal, for some reason, had an inability momentarily to walk. The reason is because it hurt itself. So if that's the case, you should have had compassion, realizing that it's not being stubborn, but being impossible. An animal that has all the physical health in gesund, if you want to hit a little bit with a makel, to urge it to go on with a prod, you're allowed to do that in a reasonable way. But over here, you saw the animal was a little wounded, you should have taken that in consideration. You have no right to hit it just because it's your animal. And for that reason, you're going to be held culpable. Well, what? Yeah, we're not getting into that one. Now, Kelev she'ena noishech. The fact is, a dog that is not a dog that bites. He enters your house. If you want to get rid of this dog, it's not your dog. You use a little stick to get rid of it. But don't take the hot kettle of water and pour it on the poor dog's back to literally scorch it out of your house. To hit it with a big stick. Or to kick it with a foot. Or to blind it. That's not in Shemayim, basically. Tazo means, even if you have to get rid of a stray dog in your house, you got to do it with compassion. Finally, one more halacha of the Sefer Chasidim. Echesh lohoi rotza litrov ha-hazavuvim. For omolov, chavero alti tzadek habay. Mutav litrov ha-litrov ha-zuvim. Kedei shal yapil b'maychol b'mashtecho v'ilam chateh. It seems this guy was a machmir. There were bugs, I guess, infesting his sukkah and getting into his food. And this guy didn't want to kill him, get rid of them. God forbid, tzah ba'lechayim. So his friend said to him, let's understand this. You don't want to get rid of these insects. They're mamish, they're infesting our food. So you'd rather eat the food with the bugs because you don't want to kill them and get rid of them. That's considered the opposite direction. That's called chasidus shel shtus. So therefore, Rabbi, you see, you have to know exactly how to do it. And therefore, if that's the case, you have a right to get rid and kill them. Your covet comes first. Rav Moshe Feinstein, interesting enough, and sometimes in Negros you find interesting things. Rav Moshe Feinstein has said that somebody asked him a shayla, if I got to kill bugs, whether it's in the sukkah or my house, whatever it is, so what's the best way of killing the bugs? Should I kill the bug with a fly swatter, you know, hit them? Or should I spray with a certain type of bug killer that I'll spray it and they'll be poisoned by it? So which is the best way of getting rid of bugs? So Rav Moshe, interesting, has a tshuva upon this. Interesting question. So Rav Moshe says that if you look very carefully in the Rishon who deal with the concept of Tzah Ba'alei Chayim, why the Rabban Shem made this as such an important hashkafas HaTorah, I'll end with this. He says, the reason is because Hashem wanted to teach us that we should have compassionate behavior, and therefore rahmanis to animals, and from that, compassion to human beings as well. We shouldn't give compassion to animals and not be compassionate to human beings as the Germans did. They used to love their animals and dogs, but what they did to human beings. So we have to learn from that compassion about all brios. So Rav Moshe says, if it's teaching us musa, if it's geared to human training in midas tevos, it's more musardic to kill them by using sprays in a more indirect fashion than take a fly swatter, hit them over the head, and crush them with your hand. So there, everybody says, if you have the option, if you have the time option, therefore you're learning midas tevos, tzah ba'alei chayim. But tzah ba'alei chayim, Rabbi Yisai, is a levitical concern. If you have pets, you have an achrayus. One of the halachas is you got to feed your animals before you feed yourself, before you eat a meal. It's a pasuk in Shema, we repeat twice daily. That's also part of tzah ba'alei chayim. So Rabbi Yisai, take heed, be careful. We see from this Makaris how careful you got to be. Bezal Shemal is watching us, and hopefully speaking, the Rabban Shemal reward us mita kedek bit because of our concern of Tzah Ba'alei Chayim to others. Hashem make sure that the world has concern for our rachmanis and our pain, and they won't torture us anymore. We'll come to a tikkun from shalom and peace throughout the world at large.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.